Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, I guess our theme song didn't play. Never mind.
You know what? For doing that twice,
never mind.
We didn't come through at all for the second time.
Yeah, it's hard to believe we actually had we started the show and we weren't on air.
But you know what? We were much peppier because we were waiting for that theme music to kick in.
I thought the first one was much better than what we just did.
Wake up, Hollywood. How are you? How are you, Eddie Pence?
I'm good.
My co-host. How was your week?
Good. My dog had bladder surgery, so we've been dealing with that.
How did you know he needed it?
We had a bladder stone, which is like a kidney stone for a human.
How did he get that? I mean, you can't have that much calcium in his diet,
I don't know what the hell.
Is that genetic?
No, it's diet. I don't know. But
he must have been in pain.
It was horrible. I mean, well, first of all, like when they go to cut on a dog, like animals, they don't do it like it's not like a cosmetic incision. Like they just like hack into it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like gross looking.
Oh man,
it's like Frankenstein stitches.
Jeez, poor guy. Does he have the cone?
He doesn't. They put the cone on him, but he doesn't. He never licks him. Like he never looks at the. Like he's had surgeries before. He never like pulls at this. And we never let him wear the cone because he's just miserable in it.
As every dog is. Every dog looks like I am.
But he doesn't do anything when he's on the cone. He just stands. Like he won't lay down. He won't sit. He won't walk. He'll just stand wherever you put the cone on him. You can put the cone on him, go out of the house for 2 hours, come back, and he'll be in the exact same spot.
That's crazy.
So we don't put the cone on him.
Poor Buster, man.
So, but he's been having to wear a diaper the last, like, 3 days.
Just like his daddy.
Just like his daddy and his mommy.
That's terrible. And you know what? Hopefully he'll be... How long will it take him to recover?
He had it on Thursday, so it's... I think it takes, like, a week or two to...
Oh, man.
Recover.
That's, like, my worst nightmare, to have a kidney stone. That would be... God.
Yeah, I heard it's the worst. Third worst pain.
What's the first?
I think childbirth.
Oh, I would.
And then I think breaking your femur.
I think I'd rather give birth to a child than have a kidney stone.
I think breaking your femur is second.
Wow. Who ranks this?
I don't know. Some guy that's done a lot of stuff to his body. And then a kidney stone.
That's crazy. Well, I had a crazy morning. I went to see Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, things that I'd never thought I'd do in LA, I did it. And you know what? My girlfriend really wanted to go see the show, so we got tickets and we went at 7 in the morning. She's a huge Dr. Phil fan.
Why?
I agree. I'm not into the show.
How are you a Dr. Phil fan?
And you know what? Like,
who's a Dr. Phil fan?
I'm always taking her to concerts and she's like, well, come with me to Dr. Phil. And I'm like, but I take you to concerts. She's like, yeah, you take me to concerts, but I want you to
But there's like
this.
Talent involved in watching musicians.
I agree. I totally
Dr.
agree.
Phil's a moron.
And I was there for two shows, two screenings, and it was at 7 in the morning.
Ugh.
It was crazy. It was like all the things that you don't want. But the funny thing was we ended up sitting behind one of the guests. So I was that like annoying audience member that was just like overdoing the nodding in agreement. I was like, I'm going to have fun with it if I'm here. And then the second show, they put us in the front row, which was crazy. So
they just take the same audience and shuffle you guys around so it looks
different.
They
shuffle us around so it looks different.
Because they can't get that many people to come in and watch Dr. Phil twice.
Surprisingly, they had a lot of people. I mean, people from Australia were there.
I don't understand people wanting to go see live shows.
It's because we live here that the culture just – we're like, I don't want to
see
that.
When I first moved here, I went and saw The Price is Right. And I was like, okay, well, because I've been watching since I was a kid. I was like, oh, I'll go do it. Because my friend was like, oh, I want...
Hold on. With Bob Barker...
No, it was with Bob Barker. This was like 97.
Classic.
1997.
Yeah. Big shout out to Bob Barker.
And so it was classic, Price is Right. And my friend came to visit, and she's like, I want to go see it. I'm like, all right, we'll go see it. And so I stood in line literally for 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did. I'm like, I'm never going to go see another live show ever.
Because
again.
They get you there super early, and then they waste your time for about
and I saw the Tonight Show. I went and saw the Tonight Show... Back in like 2002, only because Robin Williams was the guest, and I just wanted to see Robin Williams.
Oh, man, that must have been awesome.
So it was kind of cool to watch him do stuff during commercial breaks.
See, that's worth it.
That was worth it.
And it's later. It's not in the morning. Like, you're an artist, I'm an artist. Yeah. I don't like waking up before 10.
It sucks.
If I can get away with it, because I stay up late.
And then I've been to Ellen 3 times. Wow. But only because...
Are you a lesbian?
No.
Just kidding.
I wish.
She's great.
Only because it was we went during the 12 days of giving or whatever, like during Christmas each year, where they just give a ton of crap away to the audience members. Because that's the only reason I would go.
Right.
Is because I'm getting a bunch of free
stuff. Did you get a new car?
No, I got like a... When you ever get like $1,200 at JCPenney's?
I've been to the Ellen show. It's fun. I saw Dave Matthews perform there.
I wouldn't go to the show. Unless I'm getting free stuff, I don't ever want to go see a TV show.
I saw my favorite band there, so that's why I went. So. But I ended up meeting her. She signed a book for my girlfriend, so she has a book from her. But my Price is Right story is awesome. So I went to the Price is Right, same kind of thing as you. Yeah. I went for a birthday party. So they gave us all shirts. Ugh. We had I'm Neutered on the back and Team Barker on
the back. That's the only way you get on the Price is Right is either be a part of a group.
You have to be a part of a group.
Or old.
Well, that's true.
That's the only way you get on.
But one of the people in our group got called up and won a car. He won a car.
Good for him.
It was awesome. That part was cool.
You have to be in a group or be old.
But Dr. Phil, I got to tell you, like it was just like really dramatic, obviously. Ugh, you know,
so gross.
And it was just a weird way to start your day. But
terrible.
The funny thing was, it was cool to see another thing of LA that you don't normally do.
I would not want to see Dr. Phil do anything.
It was pretty crazy. The other cool thing I did over the weekend was my girlfriend's four sisters surprised her by visiting. So we did all kinds of touristy things.
Surprise!
No, I mean, that was a kind of a hard surprise to convince.
They all stayed at your place?
They all stayed at my place. Oh, God. Which was crazy. But they're fun. They were really fun. So we did a bunch of touristy things. We went to Madame Tussauds, did the whole city tour. Have you ever done the city tour in Hollywood?
What do you mean?
Like on the bus? Like the Star Line City? Yeah. No. Dude, I have been here 32 years.
I'm behind 36. Them every day in traffic. I'm just like, I don't.
And I never thought I would like doing that. It was awesome. I swear to God, it was awesome.
I live right by there, so they're always driving by my house.
That's true. Like, and you know what? I see them all the time, too. And I was like, God, that must suck. It must not be good. It was awesome. We went to places I'd never been in L.A., the Hollywood Overlook. Have you been there?
Yeah.
I'd never been there. Yeah. I'd never even seen that place.
Not really.
And then we went to all kinds of cool celebrity homes. And then we went through like parts of Beverly Hills and Sunset. It was fun. It was like, I love this city. This is good.
That sounds like hell on earth, but I'm glad you had fun.
It was fun. It was fun. So, I'm on 6 shots of espresso right now. I took a little nap.
Did you go to AC/DC last night?
I didn't go to AC/DC, but I saw him at Coachella. Did you see him?
No, I had a couple friends go. I didn't go.
They're awesome.
I wanted to go.
I saw him. I saw him at Coachella, and they were mind-blowing. I'm going to see Van Halen on Friday, though.
With David Lee Roth.
Hell yeah. Ugh. That's the only way to see him. What, you think Sammy Hagar's Van Halen?
No, I saw them in 2012 with David Lee Roth at Staples Center, and Van Halen was awesome. David Lee Roth was horrible.
Really?
Awful.
I heard he's really hot and cold. I saw him sitting with Dave Grohl.
Ice cold. He was freezing cold.
But I heard he's really awful.
He spoke most of the lyrics, not sing them, just spoke them. Eddie Van Halen did like a 10-minute guitar solo that makes your head explode.
Yeah, that's why I'm going.
The band was to see Eddie Van Halen. The band was on. He was awful.
Did you see him with Michael Anthony, the bass player?
Yeah.
See, I'm going to see him with Wolfgang, which is Eddie's son. Not totally the same, but I'm really going to see Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen will blow your mind. But
that's where I'm going.
David Lee Roth will be hot because he was awful. And literally after that show, they canceled their tour.
Really?
So I think they were having some issues sucking ass.
You know what? I think he's clean now, and I think he was drunk.
In the middle of it, he came out and did this solo thing with an acoustic guitar and then had like video of his dogs running around in a field and started like strumming and just talking about his dogs. I'm like, what the
that
is going on?
That's a little bit weird. I actually met a really big idol of mine over the weekend, Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers. You like the Allman Brothers?
Yeah.
You're from the South. You gotta love the Allman Brothers. So I got to see an intimate performance. He played just acoustic, and they were honoring him for some Grammy events, and it was awesome. I got to meet him. He signed my little program, and man, it was amazing. You know, the crazy thing was Eric Church was also there. Have you heard of this country singer,
No.
Eric Church? I was not impressed with him. Everybody was screaming for him, and I was just like, this guy sings out of tune. Like, this guy's not that great. And then Greg Allman, in his, 60s, just slayed this guy. I mean, it was just like, God, man, I hope I'm that good at that old. You know what I mean? Because that's, the real test, I think, if you can play and still sing and still sound awesome. And he did. He really sounded great. I think our special guest, Mr. Walter Allman, is here, the bass extraordinaire.
Hey, hey.
Are you related to the Allman Brothers?
No, no, I am not.
That was a good segue, wasn't it?
Allman? It tied in nicely.
But you...
It's a different spelling.
He's another Allman Brother.
Right. I always have the running joke that when that band is over, I'm going to start my own band called the Allman Brothers. And we're just going to make a lot of money.
You know what? Yeah. You would make a lot of money. Right. But there's going to be a reaction like, what? Wait a minute.
Be like, what the hell? Right. What the hell is this?
Right. Right.
But I will come see that band.
Yeah, of course.
Because Walter is a pretty damn good bass player. How you been, man? I haven't seen you in a long time.
I haven't seen you since...
We did a casino gig.
And I won big that day.
Dude, ooh, yeah.
What casino?
At the Avi Casino in Laughlin. We did like a weekend full of shows.
You and all the 80-year-olds?
Yeah, yeah. But dude, you know, he and I were like the big gamblers of the trip. And you hit it hard.
Yeah, I beat them bad.
What game? Dude, what game?
Caribbean poker, right?
Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and you're only playing as the dealer. It's great.
Ooh.
Wait,
how much
on.
Did you win that?
Are you from Virginia?
Yeah.
Same here.
Oh, nice. Oh! Where in Virginia?
Richmond.
I'm from Fairfax.
Okay. Redskins hat.
Yeah.
I feel the pain.
It's not easy. It's not an easy life.
That's tough. Man. It's tough being a Redskins
fan. Oh, you got your Nationals hat on. Yeah. Man. Yeah, we're buddies.
See, you guys are like neighbors. Yeah. How far is Fairfax from? Where are you from?
About an hour and a half, Richmond. 90 miles.
Okay, all right.
I went to training camp and I was like...
Oh, really? Yeah, this year?
Yeah, I'll go every year. And I'm like, there's no way RG3 starting. Like,
was he that bad?
Colt McCoy looks better than all of them.
I think Colt McCoy's probably the most competent quarterback on that roster.
Yeah. But he's not going to start over RG3. No. I mean, he needs time.
Was RG3 looking that bad in camp?
During the two-minute offense, it was horrible. I was like, there's no way. And I was out there when the Texans came in a big fight.
Oh, you were there for the fight?
Yeah. Yeah, and they separated them and everything. It was crazy.
I saw it on the training camp.
Yeah, the
Hard Knocks. Yeah. I saw that. But
there was three fights in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My thing with Cousins is like, he's just like, it's like Rex Grossman again. It's just he'll look good for a quarter and then throw three interceptions. And you're like, right.
You got to be dedicated to be a Redskins fan. I respect painful. That on both you guys.
It was a great childhood. I loved my childhood.
Right.
Well, you only made it to the Super Bowl once, right?
We Twice. Won three of them, buddy.
Oh, you did. That's right. Oh, yeah.
We've been five times. We won three
of them. In the late 90s. Isn't that when you won the last couple?
82.
Yeah.
87, 91.
That's right.
87,
right.
I think we beat the Broncos.
Doug Williams.
You guys were down 10-0, and then you won 42.
Then we scored 35 points in the second quarter.
Yeah. That was right.
That's
that was
still
amazing.
A record.
And Doug
Timmy
Williams
Smith
like,
still
he,
holds
like,
the rushing
he
record.
He rode off
in
the
Super
sunset
Bowl.
Was just like, that's it. I'm
now
done.
He works for the Redskins.
Yeah.
I saw him at the training camp.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was he like, yeah, man, I remember. This is my game in 87.
This is my favorite show we've ever done.
people love it.
Because we're just talking about the Redskins.
Well, yeah, dude, I love football. We can always talk Redskins. But it's different with another Redskins fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because you share that misery.
We don't have a quarterback right now. It just sucks.
Well, you know, every team goes through that cycle. I mean, it sucks.
It's been two decades of this cycle. It's been since 1991 of this cycle.
It's a long cycle.
Yeah, man.
But at least you made it to the playoffs a couple times in the last 20
Three
years.
Three times in 20 years?
Yeah, it's not great, but at least you've made it. There are teams, like Cleveland has no football team that has made it into the playoffs in, I think, probably 15, 30, 40 years. Right. Crazy it's like that.
Brutal. Brutal.
Anyways.
And also, I was listening to you guys' Van Halen conversation.
Yeah.
I went and saw them on Kimmel. They blocked off Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, really? Was it good?
David Lee Roth came out. First song, started swinging the mic around, hit himself in the face.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, busted his face open. They kept playing, like Wolfgang and Eddie kept playing.
And if
you go back and watch the video, he's got like a Band-Aid or something on his face.
He would like when I was at the Staples Center, he had like his wood like dance floor.
Right.
All for himself. Everyone else had to stand way away from him, and he had to have this wooden dance floor so he could come out and do all his moves.
Right.
And he has cane and everything. And he was more concerned with doing high kicks and
than making
the song sound good.
Right.
Well, it's a performance. I mean, dude, it's David Lee Roth. Are you really that surprised?
Right.
The guy wore like assless spandex.
Yeah, but you want to hear Panama. You want to hear it.
Right. Just do the song, right.
You don't want to hear some guy just talk the lyrics out.
That's very true. Right. That's very true. What's like the Van Halen song to you guys?
Jump.
Like, Yeah, Jump is like the big
one. That's what, like, when I was a kid, that's the first one, the first music video I remember seeing.
Hot for Teacher, Panama.
Those came, I mean, Jump is what introduced me into Van Halen.
Dance the Night Away.
But I was a fan of, I really do like Sammy Hagar and
what, see, I like that era,
was
too.
Was it Unlawful Carnal Knowledge? Yep. Is that the name of
yep.
it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what Right Now. Yeah. That's what, that was a great era of rock
and Sammy
roll.
Hagar is always like, eh, and then you listen to him, you're like, oh, this is good. Yeah, like, you never think about it. You always think David Lee Roth is the best Van Halen. Then you listen to Sammy Hagar and you're like, there's some good stuff on this.
Right, right. And then I went and saw AC/DC last night.
Oh, you did see
AC/DC? Did see AC/DC. Yeah.
How were they? Were they good live?
They were.
I heard his voice is a little shot.
Here's the thing. They play a bunch of their songs down, like, a key.
Right,
or a couple
right.
steps.
So it's not the same.
So, yeah.
But, what's his name on the guitar?
Angus Young?
Angus Young. He still
has
does
it.
The,
still
dude,
has
and
it.
And he still's doing, like, the still, car wheels on the floor
running.
And shit. I mean,
still
he's
running.
I like his guitar tone. I like. Right. There's a few shows that it's just like, oh, my God. I saw Def Leppard last week. And, like, dude, I wasn't expecting them to kick some ass. They kicked some ass. That guitar tone, I was like, damn. There's three shows that made me go, oh, my God. It, like, when I hear a guitar tone. One was ZZ Top.
Right.
Totally unexpected.
Right.
One was AC/DC.
Right.
And one was Def Leppard. I was like, oh, my God. This is, like, some of the best guitar tones I've heard.
The craziest thing I've seen in a while is I actually was lucky enough to go see U2 at the Roxy.
Mm.
And that was...
Oh, you went to that show?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was...
How'd you get
into
that
show?
I just, you know.
Were you friends with everyone at K-Rock?
It just broke in.
Yeah, no, I just knew a couple of people.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
How was that show?
It left me saying I want to see it on a bigger stage. Like, I've never seen them live. Right?
So that was your first time?
Yeah.
I saw them at the Staples Center, like, in 2005.
See, I think I would like that better.
And that was the Vertigo tour, right?
It was it was a huge show.
I've seen them on every tour, but I've never seen them that intimate.
Right.
But, dude, there's nothing like that.
I just
that,
got goosebumps. They did Sunday Bloody Sunday, and I just got goosebumps.
That,
like,
drum groove.
500 people just in there. Just,
that's
just
crazy,
in it,
man.
Right.
That's like seeing them when they started.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It was nuts. Couldn't
That's
believe
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you heard out to hear Streets with Streets Have No Name, right?
They played, I forgot. Yeah, I think they did do that. They did that.
That's one of my favorite. They had to play the entire Joshua Tree album.
Yeah, but that's right. The dude, honestly, if I could have seen them in that era, oh my God, my life would be complete.
Right.
Because that record to me, that's my favorite record. I like all their other records, except for the latest one, but that one.
Right.
Man.
And then I went to Kanye on Saturday.
Damn! Right. Dude!
I love going to shows.
Wait, did he do the 808s?
Yeah.
All the way beginning to end?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
Nothing else.
Wow.
And the thing about that is, a lot of people were mad.
Because they
wanted to hear the hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I saw him at the FYF Festival, like, a month ago, before that.
I saw him at, I played a festival with him, Bonnaroo. And that was my favorite.
Right.
Like, I saw him at, like, 6 in the morning, and he opened with Good Morning.
Right.
You know, it was off the graduation tour.
Right.
I haven't seen him since his latest record. I'm not a huge fan of his latest record. I love all of his other records.
Other stuff before,
except for the new record. So
808s
would have been cool to see that beginning
and
end.
And that's all it was. But it was more of a performance piece. He had, like, an orchestra, a band, like, all this stuff. It was. You actually have to be a fan of that album. If you just
I love that record.
If you want, that wasn't a typical Kanye show. At all.
I would like to hear him do Late Registration beginning.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, that would be the shit.
Or College Dropout.
Yeah. Either one of those. Those are my favorite records.
Yeah.
Love all right, dude.
I have nothing to add.
Walter, let's start talking about you, man. We could talk about this all night long.
Right.
So,
right,
dude,
right.
let's get into, like, how'd you get into playing bass? Where'd you start?
Basically, I started when I was in middle school. I started out playing drums, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I remember, like, the next year, there wasn't a bass player. And I'm like... Okay.
Did you kill him?
No, I killed his family.
Just making sure. Just making sure.
Right.
He didn't show up one day.
Yeah, there was no bass player, so I just told the band teacher, I'm like, I'll switch over to bass. Because at that point, like, the drums was the coolest instrument to play. So there was literally 30 drummers, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, a trumpet player, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So I did that. And then I just stuck with bass my entire, you know.
So did it speak to you when you started playing it? Or were you
just
like, I can get some work doing this?
I loved it. And then I started taking lessons from a guy at my church.
Right.
And that's when, like, my first church gig, I didn't know anything about playing by ear. Because when you're taught, I guess, quote unquote, the proper way in school, they teach you to read music. So when I got into church... I'm like, you know, where's the music at? They're like, no. We play by ear.
It's like, you got to feel this.
Right, yes. Right, exactly.
I like your reverend voice, Eddie. Yeah.
Got to feel it.
Right. So
awesome.
So I stuck with bass all, you know, I never stopped playing. And then later on in life, I was working at Capital One of all places.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. And I remember
what's in your wallet.
Right. And I remember getting called into my manager's office and getting yelled at for something I didn't do.
And you're like, what am I doing?
And at that time, a bunch of my friends, right. And at the time, a bunch of my friends had moved out to LA.
Right.
And then one of my friends almost won American Idol.
Wow.
Right.
Who was that?
His name's Elliot Yamin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he came in third place. So that was like the highest season. That was with...
is he from Virginia too?
Yeah, he's from Richmond. Yeah.
Okay.
That season, it was like Taylor Hicks, Catherine McPhee, Daughtry was on there.
Yeah,
LA.
Yeah. That's like the peak.
Yeah, that was the highest rated idol ever, right? So I was just coming out here visiting and I just told him, I said, I'm going to go for it, man. He's like, you know, you'll never know unless you do, you know. So I just went for it.
And the cool thing about Walter, too, is we both share a common bond having gone through Guitar Center.
Right.
We went through the fucking ups and downs of that road.
Right. And also, like, when we were going to Vegas, we were talking about Dave Matthews.
That's right.
And I was telling them, I'm like, there was this venue in Virginia called, I don't know if you ever came to the Flood Zone or not.
No.
Like, Dave Matthews would literally...
Oh, I have been to that. And it's in Richmond, right?
Yeah, they would literally do all ages shows. And all it was Under the Table and Dreaming before they got signed.
You gave me chills, right, man. Damn. Right.
And then they got signed, and then the rest is history. Like, I saw all of that before. You know.
Yeah, I love that you love shows, because a lot of musicians, I know you know this too,
right.
A lot of musicians, they don't like seeing live music.
Well,
they got gigs and stuff, but it's not a passion to see it. Well, I'm like, dude, I have to have that balance.
Well, as a musician, it's kind of hard to go to shows, because sometimes I'm not paying attention to the show. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the gear. I'm like, I wonder what kind of mic that is, or what kind of, even down to the instrument cable.
Yep.
I'm like, what is that?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it's like, why is he doing that?
Yeah.
And that's why it's kind of.
Why is he playing it there?
Right. Like, right. It's like, why are you playing an F right there when you could be playing? Yeah. So it's.
I do the same thing.
So it's very difficult sometimes to watch shows, but, you know.
But it's fun because you get inspiration.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, I talk about this with Eddie too. It's like, you get that rush of seeing the show, and then you get that, like, damn. Like, oh my God, I want to be there. Like, I want to be doing that right this second.
Right.
And it actually makes me practice. Like, it makes me go.
Right. When you see something that's inspiring.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you get inspired and you get kicked in the nuts a little bit too at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
So, how old were you when you started playing bass?
Let's see. I was in seventh grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like 13.
Yeah.
Like
somewhere
that.
Around there. Yeah. And then I just didn't stop.
So you came to LA. And
right.
What was your experience? What was your first experience?
When I got to LA, I really didn't know anything about networking. You know, I just came. I'm like, I'm here. You know, and I kind of leaned on Elliot a lot.
Right.
You know, and then
kind of. Oh, that's a good person to
lean on. Right. And he did the right thing. Instead of just putting me on a gig, he was almost like, I'll put you in these situations.
Right.
Figure it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the first year was kind of rough, but I'm like, I cannot go back. I made such a big deal leaving Virginia.
Right.
I'm like, I have to.
You're like, fuck all you guys.
right. Exactly. Right. It's like, sayonara, Richmond.
Is this a bridge? I'm burning it.
Right. So
Why was it a big deal to leave?
I don't. Just the way I left.
Right.
You know, the way I left Capital One, I'm like, I'm out of here.
Right.
Like,
big fingers up in the air.
Yeah. I'm leaving. I'm going to Los Angeles.
Right.
It's over. You know.
Right. Right.
So you know. So then after the first year, I'm like, I can't give up. You know, and then
and it's humbling too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because LA, like, it really is a big city,
right? You know what I mean? And then, you know, if you're from here, it's like anywhere else, you're almost big fish in small pond.
Yeah.
Then you come here, and everyone's good.
Yeah.
Every musician's great. Everyone's funny. Everyone is something. You know, and it's like, You're like a nobody, you know.
It's very true.
You know, you could walk into a room and be like, I'm the man in Richmond, and then like Ethan Farmer walks in, you're nobody,
and you're like, he's got all the gigs,
right? Exactly. He literally does. Ethan does.
Like, he's a great player.
Yeah. Brandon Brown. Like, it's they're insane. So you know, and then the second year I got into like a hip hop band, and then I started dabbling in like session work. Like, a friend of mine went on the road and he was like, hey, can you just like sub and just do this? And then the producer just kept calling me back. And
that's
then,
awesome.
Right. And then that turned into just more gigs, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one thing leads to the next.
Right.
It's kind of like just, as soon as you have one gig, it'll lead to the next gig.
Yeah, it leads to the next. And also I've gotten gigs off of just not playing guitar.
Right.
Because there's a lot of guitar players that switch the bass because there's no bass player. I literally walked into an audition one time, and there was a guitar sitting there. I'm like, it was like a Les Paul. I'm like, that's a cool Les Paul. And the guy's like, hey, can you play it? I'm like, I don't know how to play guitar. He's like, you got the gig. I didn't even play a note.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't play a note.
He's like, you got the gig.
Because I play bass. I wasn't a guitar player. That's
crazy.
Yeah, man.
Well, let's jump into something. What are you gonna play us? What are you gonna play us? A track that you produced, or that
I'm gonna play a track that I actually worked on with an EDM DJ named Zed.
Cool. Awesome.
So basically, he won a Grammy for this song called Clarity.
Yeah.
And basically, what happened was they called in a live band, and we did a stripped down version of Clarity for this thing called iTunes Sessions. So it was literally bass, drums, keys, guitar,
and he played keys, right?
There was another keys player. Okay. Yeah, so Zed played keys as well. So yeah, we're gonna do that one.
Let's hear that.
It's on the Apple iTunes.
Is it that EP. Clarity featuring or just Clarity One?
Clarity One, I believe.
Clarity One. Okay.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
High dive into frozen waves with past. Back to life. Fight fear for the selfish pain. It was worth it every time. Hold still right before we crash, cause we both know how this ends. The clock ticks till it breaks your glass and I drown in you again. Still
the audience loves that. Dude, what a bitchin' way to start, like, your musical.
Right.
Let me show you what I've been doing.
Right.
Just this little guy named Zed. Yeah.
Right.
And that was a killer version of that song.
Yeah, man. And the cool part about it is after we arranged it and some other stuff, we did it. And then Zed later did Kimmel, and they played that arrangement.
Oh, my God. And I'm like, I was just getting chills.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I was like, man, yeah. And the funny part about that, is that whole session, is there were no punches. Like, right. If you messed up, we had to re-record it.
Oh, my God.
So we did Clarity probably like 15 times because Zed is – he's a genius.
Yeah, he's a badass.
Yeah, and he was like, we need to redo this.
He's one of the few DJs that's actually a great musician.
Because he's a classically trained pianist.
Yep, yep.
And he's just – he's amazing.
Yeah, he's a badass.
And he just does
it. And I heard he plays drums too.
He's like one of those cats. What can't you do?
I know. Yeah. There's a lot of DJs that just push the space bar, but he's one of those.
No.
He'll play every instrument. He can play it. He can sing it and just like, you know, arrange it. He's badass. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you toured with a lot of hip-hop acts, too. I remember that you talk about this on the way
up. So I did some stuff with this hip-hop group. Do you remember Camp Lo?
Camp Lo.
Yeah, they did a song called Luchini. And then I did some stuff with the rapper Big Sean.
Big Sean, I know. Yeah.
We know Big Sean.
Big Sean.
So, and I've done a bunch of like studio work for a bunch of like hip hop artists and stuff like that. Yeah, it's worked out. You know, my friends and I, we did a song and we got a cut on Rihanna, but it didn't make the album.
That's all right.
We still have it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, we still did it.
Yeah, we still have it. You know what I mean?
But, well, I think that's one of the greatest things about being an artist. And Eddie, I know you know this too. It's like it's not predictable. Like everything, whether it's like getting work or doing the work or whatever you're working on or whatever you're going to work
on. I don't know if that's the great thing about being
an artist. But it is, though. I mean, I don't think – I know myself I can't do the cubicle thing where it's like you clock in and you know what's going to happen every day. I just –
it's like
crazy.
The way you're programmed.
Yeah.
And then when I moved out of here, I knew nothing about the production side of things.
Right.
Right. So I'm just like, man, I just want to tour and see the world.
Right. And then you get older and you're like, I don't want to do that.
It's not even that. It's that like when you're on tour and once the tour is up, all that money that you made, that's all you have.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's all you have.
And you lost all your local gigs, too.
Right, exactly. So I have my hands in, I have a partner. We do we do music for commercials and stuff like that, and you get royalties off of that. I want to get more into songwriting.
Yeah.
So my writing partners are actually Brian McKnight's kids. And them two are they're the two most talented.
Are they insane on the vocals and all that?
Let me tell you something. It's not even fair.
You're like,
how
dude,
talented they are. Yeah.
I bet.
When I get around them, I'm like, I just want to punch you in the face.
Are they like, Dad, I don't want vocal lessons.
So you did kill that bass player.
Right. It's like, them two are just...
You want to punch yourself in the face?
Right. They're
just like, come on.
It's not even fair how good they are. And the thing about it is, they're really good at music, but I don't necessarily think, one of them knows like theory. Like if you give him a guitar, I don't think he could play a C.
Right,
I think he'll just find like the he'll find it and just go.
Right,
yeah,
that's cool though. I like when it's raw like that too. You know, I don't need schooled musicians that know all the theory in the world. Like it's kind of I like a balance.
And my buddy Art, it's Archie and Nico, but Archie, his real name is Brian McKnight Jr. He can sing. He sounds just like his dad, if not better.
Now you told me something that I actually always think about. Yeah. Like when we were going to Laughlin to play, you were telling me how many like great musicians and artists came out of Virginia, and I never knew this. Like Virginia is like this budding musical scene.
I tell people all the time, Virginia is the most talented state ever.
Yeah,
I mean,
and we've had the most presidents,
right?
So easy there.
Hey,
so I mean, like you think about it. I mean, you've got Pharrell.
Yep.
You've got Timberland.
Yeah.
You've got Teddy Riley. And they're all within probably like a 3-mile radius.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Then you've got Chris Brown. Then you've got Trey Songz.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews started in Virginia. Yeah. You've got Gwar. You've got there's another band.
I was blown away when he just mentioned those names.
Yeah.
Like, and look at the athletes. Allen Iverson, that's Bruce Smith, that's Michael Vick.
Yeah.
You almost wonder if it's related.
George Washington.
Like, is it the communities in Virginia that create the athletes or the musicians? Are like, what is the vibe like? Over? I mean, I've been there, but I've only been in small little rural parts of Virginia.
I think it just has to do with where you're –
Emmett Swimming. Do you ever listen to Emmett Swimming?
No.
They were a Virginia band.
It's funny, but speaking of swimming, there's a girl that lived in my neighborhood, went to the Olympics for swimming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Like
you guys are no joke.
Yeah. One of my friends, he ended up being a NASCAR driver from Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt's from Virginia.
Is he really?
Yeah. He grew up about 15 miles from me.
And Eddie Pence came
from Eddie Pence from Virginia.
Right.
See, this is what we're doing. Right. So you got into the producing. Do you have anything that you're going to show us that you produce?
Yeah. So there's – so what I realized is, you know, after seeing, you know, the songwriting thing, like a friend of mine, she wrote all that Katy Perry stuff. Like I watched that happen too.
Bonnie McVie?
McKee, yeah.
McKee, that's
yeah,
right.
I saw that happen. That's just amazing. That's the craziest thing. And the funny thing is I was supposed to do a gig with her. And then she canceled the gig, and I think she had a songwriting session. And I was, like, scouring through my emails to find the songs that she sent to see if any of them were the old, like, Katy Perry songs. You know, because I heard some of the songs that Katy recorded might have been on. I mean, that's urban legend.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And she's, like, her secret weapon you know, on the songwriting
team. So what me and my friends have done is we realized there's a whole other market in Europe. There's a whole other market in Europe.
Well, to me, the three markets are the U.S., Europe, and then Australia and the U.K.,
And in Europe, a lot of artists record their songs in English, which is really weird, but it's cool at the same time. So there's an artist from Germany. His name is Luca Hani. He's 21 years old. He looks like Justin Bieber. He came over to L.A., and me, Archie, Nico, and my buddy Fabian, we produced and wrote the whole album.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's out in Germany right now.
And how do you track that? Are you just like what are the charts?
Well, the cool thing about it is we did it over at the studio called 14 Hertz. And I was walking around the studio. I'm like, this looks super familiar. This room does. And then I realized I'm in the same spot. Do you remember the Metallica video, Nothing Else Matters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Lars Ulrich is sitting there throwing the darts at the Kip Winger. I'm standing in that exact spot.
That is funny.
I'm like, this is
that's what Instagram's for.
Oh, right. I'm like, this is amazing. So he came over to LA. We recorded the album. We did everything there. And I'm really proud of the album.
So what's the name of the track?
The name of the song is, it's a single over there. It's called Wonderful or Miss Wonderful. I think it's a top 10 over there right now.
That's amazing.
I don't even know. But
what's his name again?
His name is Luca Hani. LuccaHanni. And I think he just got like maybe like a U.S. booking agent and stuff. And I think 2016 he's gonna
blow up.
He's gonna come over here.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah, so he's
this
got
Luca Hanna.
There we go.
Wonderful.
Looking out of my window, every day she's walking past. Wish I could put her on slow-mo or freeze frame to make it last. Her voice is my favorite song that I sing along to every night. Looking out of my window, waiting for her smile. Like sunshine on a rainy day, her kiss could blow my clouds away. But I don't even know her name. She's a real cool girl, she rocks my world. The only reason it spins around. She's Miss Wonderful, she blows my mind like all the time. I just wanna scream out loud. She's my Miss Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. She's Miss Wonderful, she's Miss Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. She's Miss Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. She's Miss Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. She's a real cool girl, she rocks my world. The only reason it spins around. She's Miss Wonderful, she blows my mind like all the time. I just wanna scream out loud.
Very nice.
Wunderbar. Yeah, man. And it's so funny working with an artist like that over here, because he comes over just in L.A., just hangs out. But you see videos of him in Europe, and he's like walking around
this huge
with the security guard. And it's just like, you know, and like he'll just do like little subtle things to let you know he's doing well.
Whole other thing that's just like
right
a whole phenomenon.
Like my friend that works at Guitar Center, like they had a signing one day from the drummer from this band called Mana, and and they're the largest band in the world. Like they're bigger than Metallica and everything. And I knew nothing about the band, right? So I'm like, I'm just gonna go check it out. And the line at like 8 o'clock in the morning, you said, was down the street and around the corner.
Oh my god!
People had driven up from Tijuana.
Wow.
To go stand in line to get an autograph from this drummer.
That's amazing.
And then I'm like, where are they playing? They played the Staples Center 6 nights in a row, sold out.
6 nights at the Staples Center?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
There's just like a whole nother market. Like the U.S. is not.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. And like it makes it sound like it's still this force that nobody can penetrate.
Like there's bands we've never heard of there.
Yeah.
Huge. Humongous. In Europe.
And they don't care. Nope. They're just like, I don't care. Huge. Translate like some of the humor, like little things.
Well, funny. People are people. Human nature is human nature. Right. So if you talk, if your comedy is about human nature, right, then it's going to translate. If you're doing, if you're doing Taco Bell references, then you know, maybe then not. No. But
That whole comedy thing, I just don't. I don't, that's such a hard thing,
that it,
man.
We talk about that all the time. It
like,
is a hard thing.
My question is, like, at what point do you, like, what level do you have to be at when you start using writers? Like, or having a team? You know, because, like...
When, I think when the point when the demand for you to push out new material is such a, so great that you can't do it yourself.
Right, because I talk about that with hip-hop all the time. And, like, the whole thing with Drake came out, that he put the girl on the road, and it's like, you pay a lot of money and they're not funny. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, so many shows in LA are just these guys working stuff out.
Yeah.
The kinks. But you know what's funny is like one thing, you know, doing the show with Eddie has taught me. It's like that's their only time. They don't have rehearsals.
Right.
Like when is a comics rehearsal? It's actually a performance.
Right.
Yeah.
And you never think about that. It's like,
well, they said that's what happened because Kanye did the bowl Friday and Saturday night. And they said Friday night, well, he was supposed to have rehearsal Thursday and the bowl has a noise ordinance.
Oh, yeah.
And he missed rehearsal. So he didn't rehearse. And then something happened Friday and, like, got off track. He had them stop the track, and he's like, you guys are watching, like, basically a paid rehearsal right now.
Wow. Like, for me, I was a huge
fan
of Kanye.
He sounds like an asshole.
Well, I mean, he
like, why
is,
why give him
his production
the audience?
Was so heavy. Right. So that's why it took so long, you know?
Still.
Like, but I agree.
I think Kanye only does Kanye things when he's got something to promote.
It's just like, I don't know.
What is
that? Because we talk about him. Right. You know what I mean? I know. It's a little bit... It's kind of like ludicrous. Like the thing is, I was listening to Graduation 2 days ago, and I was like, "Dude, some of this stuff is genius. Like some of the lyrics that he has, they really are genius." But he does so many other things to put a bad taste in people's mouths. But I think he does that.
And to the person who's not like the hip hop head, like when Kanye did what he did with Taylor Swift, a lot of people, that's the first introduction to Kanye there.
Right.
Like, not knowing he put out like 4 classic albums before he did.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why I think I'm able to look past it because I look at his past.
And I was into him like that too. Yeah. I've been into him as long, you know.
You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, a lot of people didn't know of him until he did Stronger, you know. So that's kind of what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we could all be so lucky to be at that point sometimes.
Right. Well, it's going to happen, man.
Well, you got another...
Yeah.
Fraggle Rock.
Okay.
Wiggles.
He's like, okay. Wiggles. He's okay, like, where Wiggles. Do I go with this?
Okay. All
right,
no.
I
no,
like the way you, no. you're like searching. You're like, what do I got there? What do I got?
Music is so far. Like,
it's such not a priority.
It's
in
not.
Your life.
It's real. I mean, I listen to the things I used to. I mean, I'm huge into Iron Maiden.
Okay,
he's
okay.
big into Pearl Jam.
I just went and saw. I just went and saw the Iron Maidens on Saturday.
Listen to this. Right? We played the meanest joke on someone before. The Iron Maidens were playing the House of Blues.
Yeah,
and we found a stack of tickets. They left them somewhere. And it was like a Hollywood Sheriff presents like the Iron Maidens. And we literally took masking tape.
And put it.
And we kept going and took the S off. And then we're giving out tickets. We're like, man, Iron Maiden is playing the House of Blues.
But dude, you can't be disappointed if you go there because they friggin' wail.
They rock.
Well, the thing about it is
they wail.
Their guitar player actually plays with Alice Cooper.
Wow, it's a fun show to go to.
Well, Walter, do you have a website? Where can people find you?
I do not have a website.
I know you got a Twitter.
I do. I have a Twitter. It's at Walt Walters. And then I have an Instagram. It's Walt Walters. Yeah, right. So that's...
Well, spell it out for our listeners, just in case.
ITSWALTWALTERS. That's Instagram. And then Twitter is WALTWALTERS.
And what are you working on right now? What's in the future? What's ahead of you?
Right now, me and the team, we're just writing. Because every now and then, there's an email that goes out saying, XY artist. Back home, it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks, man. I've seen crazy situations.
No, that's I'm doing a lot more writing in the same way because right. it's like I want to tour. My goal is to do every 8 weeks or 10 weeks, do 1 week.
Right.
I'd be great with that. Or a weekend, like three shows, like, you know, I mean, 3, 4, or 5 days. But then, that's great.
But then you look at, like, other bands, like, not, I'm not even calling them legacy bands, but, like, a friend of mine, it's a crazy story. He was playing guitar at a church, and a guy said, hey, will you come over and, like, he's known the guy for a while. He said, will you come over and play guitar on a track? And he did. And then they built a relationship by doing that. And then he went back over there. He's like, I'm doing an Earth, Wind & Fire Christmas album. Will you come play guitar on a song? And he said, yeah. He went over to the guy's house again. And come to find out, he was a musical director for Earth, Wind & Fire.
Wow.
Verdeen came to the session, fell in love with my boy, and he's like, you're in the band.
Wow. Yeah. I just saw them.
Yeah. My buddy is a guitar player in Earth, Wind & Fire.
That's like, crazy.
And when he told me, he's like, I got offered the gig. I'm like, there's no question. Would you take the gig?
Yeah, you take the gig. Especially to play with. And they're still hitting the notes and still grooving their asses off.
Yeah.
So he's probably got all the outfits too, man.
I didn't
expect that.
I met the guy who makes their outfits, and it's the same guy who did all the outfits in Purple Rain.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah, they've got like
they got the cat. They're like, you're coming with us. Right. Yeah. Can I get them to make Eddie an outfit for our show?
Please. Please.
Walter, we would love to have you back, man.
I would love to
You've been a great guest, dude. And thank you for being on the show, man.
I have a question. So the whole music thing, you know, that's it. But how many Legos have you stepped on?
Legos?
Because that's the worst. Because I heard you guys talk about the like worst pain ever. Stepping on
Legos is pretty much up there. Especially you catch one of the corners of the bricks.
Yeah, you don't know pain until you step on a Lego. It's the worst thing.
That's a hard life, man.
Yeah.
It's white brutal. People problems right there.
It is. It's totally white people problem.
Well, on behalf of Eddie Pence, I'm Nicky Carulla. Walter Aumann.
Thank you for having me. Check this guy out. Back,
dude,
man.
You will come back.
I'm coming back.
Dude, you were
great. We're going to be game this weekend against the Eagles.
You're probably going to lose.
Shut up. Shut your face.
Hey, I got one of your players on my fantasy team, so I'm rooting for you guys. Garcon.
He'll get you 8 points.
Right, an injury.
We'll see you next week. Good night.